home ownership remains out of reach for a huge swathe of Australians, which means in turn, more people are renting long term. So what can we do to make life as a renter a bit closer to the Australian dream? Well, the Australian Council of Trade Unions has taken its wish list to the government, proposing increased investment in public housing, but also some stronger rights for tenants, including minimum 2-year lease terms, stronger regulatory powers to enforce the rules, more protections against unfair evictions and rent gouging. And they say these measures would go a long way to giving tenants a sense of stability and a capacity to plan for their future. So if we're rethinking renting, what else should be on the table? And with me are two lifelong renters. Simone is in her 50s, living on the New South Wales South Coast. Candy is in her 80s, renting in regional Victoria. Welcome to both of you. Candy, I might start with you. How long have you been renting for?
Actually, all of my adult life.
So that's a while, respectfully.
A long, long time.
How have you found it over those years?
Well, it actually didn't used to be so bad. You were able to find a place to rent, and the rent was quite reasonable, and the houses weren't terribly brilliant, but they actually were secure. They were safe. You had a lease that was ongoing, so it was okay. I retired about 10 years ago, and for about the first couple of years, it was not too bad. And then since COVID, it's just become ridiculous. It's so hard to rent a place. The rents are so high, and I'm on an age pension, so I don't have a lot of excess money. All of my savings has gone because I have, you know, had to meet the rents. But the problem was landlords can get more rent from people who are earning more money. So consequently, I've had to move, you know, roughly every year or 18 months, which has meant that I'm, you know, like I say, in my early 80s and still have no really secure place to live.
That sounds really, really hard, Candy. Simone, how's your experience been as a renter?
I really empathise with Candy, Tegan. It's my story's very similar to hers. I've been on a Centrelink benefit because I've been studying for the last few years, and there is no security. You know, you are pushed to the back of the list due to higher rents. And again, like Candy, I'm a lifelong renter, and you did used to be able to get a house, a roof over your head. It just seems to be getting harder and harder. And I'm not really sure, you know, what the solution is, but I'd like if we could find one.
Yeah, so this idea of a minimum 2-year lease, well, as a standard, a 2-year lease as a standard. Candy, do you think that would make a difference to you?
I do. I don't understand why we don't have 10-year leases. You know, in the UK, people do have, and that's where I'm from originally, they do have, you know, lifelong leases. And I know people in Melbourne who had a 25-year lease, or they lived in one house for 25 years. I just don't understand why we don't have longer leases. So that people can just feel more secure, because, you know, I brought my children up in rental properties, and we were constantly having to move. In their high school, that we might have moved 7 times, which is not fair. It's totally not fair. It's also, it's not healthy. It's not healthy for older people to constantly have to move, because it's financially draining, it's emotionally draining, it's psychologically draining. It's just a terrible situation to be in. However, there must be a reason that people are making so much money out of us tenants.
Simone, what would be on your wish list as a renter? Is it the 2-year lease, or would there be something different for you?
Well, Tegan, I've been stable in my current rental for a year and a half, but in that time, I've had a rent increase every 6 months. So I don't know whether that would benefit me, if because I don't know if that means I would be locked in, you know. So if I found something more affordable, I might not be able to move to it.
Mm. You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm talking to Simone and Candy, both lifelong renters, about what it's been like as renters, the amount of times they've had to move, rent increases, difficulty getting leases as rents get more expensive. And Candy in particular says since moving on to an aged care pension around the time of COVID, it's been particularly hard. I'm wondering what your experience has been as a renter, what you would change if you were designing rental policy in Australia. Genevieve says renters need long-term tenure, rent caps, and decent maintenance and repairs. Another says security of tenure, being able to stay long-term in a place that works for you, more social housing or rent tied to a percentage of your income. Well, also here with us is Hal Pawson, Emeritus Professor of Housing Research and Policy at the University of New South Wales. Hal's also the Associate Director of the City Futures Research Centre. Hal, listening to Candy and Simone, listening to those texts, do those chime for you in your research?
Yeah, they really do. I mean, it's definitely true that Australia has relatively little security for private tenants compared with, well, with not with every country, but with some, certainly with some European countries. In Germany or Switzerland, Austria, for example, you could expect to really remain in a private rental property for as long as you wish. And we've moved a little bit closer to that over the last few years. So I think credit to the state and territory governments and the federal government, who have pushed things a little bit towards something slightly more secure in the last 5 years or so. And that's in changes that have been made to Residential Tenancies Acts, where a landlord is no longer allowed to simply end your tenancy at will. Landlords have to give a reason if they want to end a tenancy when it's past its fixed term, and that that's only allowable if the reasons are the specified permitted reasons, and those are if the landlord needs the home for their own use, they need to live in it themselves. Or they want to sell it and they think that they'll maybe get a better price for it if they evict the tenant first. So we have made some moves towards a slightly more secure situation for tenants in the last few years, but there's a lot further that we could go.
So what do you make of this proposal from the ACTU?
It will appeal to some people, of course. But I think if you're in retirement, for example, 2 years is a lot better than 6 months or 12 months. If you've got no intention of moving, you're hoping to stay there for the rest of your life if you can. But I think for a lot of other people, I think in that situation, you still might feel, 2 years is better than what was previously available. But it's still, I'd much rather have something that's a lot longer than that. And one of your guests, has made that point. But I think for a lot of other people, there will be some hesitation about a 2-year tenancy if it also is binding on the tenant. In other words, you're liable to stay in the property for at least that length of time, or pay some kind of a penalty for leaving early. So, I mean, this isn't really dealt with in the ACTU's proposal. These kind of details are really important to clarify before we can really make a decision or decide whether this is something that we should be supporting or saying, well, sounds good in principle, but it perhaps isn't as great as it may appear initially.
Mm. One text here, someone from Victoria says, as a landlord, I offer 2-year leases with fixed rental rates if wanted. I make the commitment to lease for this time frame, but my most recent tenants are leaving late November, 3 months early. I have to keep my commitment, but the tenant doesn't have to. How much is the system weighted towards tenants versus landlords, Hal?
Well, I think that the system as a whole is certainly not weighted towards tenants' interests as opposed to landlords. But I think a very big part of the reason for that is the wider balance between supply and demand for rental accommodation, and the fact that we're really living in a landlord's market most of the time. Okay, it wasn't true during COVID, or at least in certain parts of the country. For a short period of time, it was very much a buyer's market. A tenants had, you know, choice of properties, and the market was so hit by the effects of COVID that tenants were able to bid down rental prices really quite substantially in some parts of the country. But that is a really exceptional situation. Most of the time, the landlord's side is advantaged not only by the Residential Tenancy Act regulations, but also by the kind of state of the market and the constant, you know, excess of demand over supply.
Well, Candy, you've had, I mean, more experiences than we can count, but there was one particular experience where you had to move out so the landlord could renovate. What ended up happening in that situation?
Yes, that was this is the whole thing about rules and regulations. They don't often apply. Most times they don't apply. In this situation, the landlord asked me to move out so they could renovate. So, and with the idea that I would go back to the house. I was just staying with friends, waiting. 6 months later, I kept asking, how's it going? When can I move back? They had put somebody else in there without telling me. They doubled the rent. So when that person was in, it was a doctor, when that doctor was in, living in that place for 6 months, they left. And the landlord got back to me and I said, I can't afford that rent. Mm. It's double what I used to pay. So this is the whole thing about rules and regulations. There are ways around them. And a lot of people, you know, will they don't really value the tenants they have. A lot of people don't. I'm sure some people do, but that was my experience. It just doesn't work.
Mm. This is Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm with lifelong renters Candy and Simone and Emeritus Professor Hal Pawson from UNSW's City Futures Research Centre. We're talking about what would make a difference to stability and long-term well-being for renters. I'd love to know what's on your wish list as a renter. You have so many ideas. You're telling me them on the text line. Dean says, I'm a forever renter. What I want is for my landlord to allow solar panels on the roof, be able to put hooks and paint on the walls, no-fault evictions, 5-year leases with an option for 5 more. Rent capped to 30% of income. Since I can pay rent, I can pay a mortgage, so open up mortgages to those with no deposit. Dean says, I've paid other people's mortgages for 40 years. I'm eager to start paying my own. Kate says, I have moved 16 times in 30 years. I want to have the same laws in New South Wales that are in Victoria, where the property has to meet a minimum standard before it's put on the rental market. The house I currently live in looks great. However, the owner is a builder, so there's massive electrical faults. Every time something goes wrong, he turns up to fix it with his mates, and it's done badly or not done. And one says, where it's a house and garden, the owner and not the tenant should be responsible for the upkeep of the garden. They can use some of the rent money to hire someone to at least mow lawns. It's unreasonable to expect tenants to buy mowers and to spend their time with upkeep of a home they'll never own. Hal, there's so many different things coming through there. Can we just talk generally about what sort of... How a tenancy affects renters' stability and well-being broadly?
Yeah, I think also from what your guests have been recounting from their own experience, I think that brings to the fore the fact that there's a very, very wide variety of people who rely on private rental housing in Australia. And I think we should be particularly concerned about the relatively insecure nature of private renting in Australia. We should be particularly concerned about that when it comes to older people, beyond, you know, above working age, and also families, or particularly lone parent families with young children. because those are the kind of population groups who are most vulnerable to the sort of the forced moves that come about because there's a relatively low level of security in private rental housing in Australia. Younger working adults, middle income, even high income people who are living in the private rental market, just for the duration of however long it takes them to save up enough for their home deposit. It's inconvenient for them to have to move when the landlord makes a decision and you don't have any stay in it. But it's far more damaging and causes far more social dislocation for older people beyond working age and younger vulnerable people who are relying on private rental housing and probably will be there for the rest of their lives. And so it's for those groups that we really need a more secure option. And I think it's not just a question of the rules which govern when landlords can end a tenancy. That's important, and that's what the ACTU's proposal is talking about. But also, in the much more important, in my opinion, in the ACTU's proposals that they published yesterday, is their demand for a much higher level of investment in non-market housing. Public housing is what they're calling for, but I think it could be community housing as well, in my opinion, because that is accommodation. Those are rental tenancies where there's no landlord desire to have the opportunity to end a tenancy at a convenient time for them so that they can sell the property and reap the capital gain, which is the usual motivation of most individual private landlords operating in Australia. And fair enough, that's an understandable personal motivation, but it doesn't suit it's very badly fitted to the needs of at least some of their tenants, these more vulnerable groups in the population. Mm. So we need to change the structure of the rental housing market, not just the rules around when landlords can end a tenancy. And what I mean by that is we need a lot more non-market housing rented out to people who qualify on basis of need, and where the rent is is set as a much lower level than the market would demand, and something that's affordable to the tenant. And the other part of the structural change, which I think we should be encouraging, is in a different part of the market. We should also be giving more encouragement to expanding institutionally owned rental property of what sometimes is called build-to-rent housing, which is market. It's priced at a market level, but it's created or it's built, commissioned by super funds, insurance companies, financial institutions who want to see a long-term return on capital from tenants' rents, not being motivated largely by the opportunity to cash in on the capital gain on a property and sell it at the best opportunity. So that's a form of rental housing where the motivation of the landlord is to keep tenants in the property as long as possible and have as few changes of tenancy as possible, because it's all about maximizing the rental income. So those two forms of rental housing, which we have nowhere near enough of in Australia, should be we should have policies and expenditure decisions which are helping to expand those parts of the market.
Well, on the text line, one says, my wish list for renters is more public housing. Simone, you had a taste of that kind of stability for a period. Can you talk to me about what that meant to you?
Well, it was it's hard to put into words to not be pushed out searching for a property is, people say moving stressful, but it's actually the searching for a property. Okay, what can I afford? Now I've got to go to all the inspections, have money for a bond. And so, to have 6 years peace from that was just, and it sounds like such a short time, but it was like, just such it just felt such a long period of stability and peace. Like,
was that
was
the longest
amazing.
You'd spent in a single rental?
Yes.
Yeah, 6 years. At what time of your life was that?
That was as my girls were finishing high school.
What a critical moment that must have been.
It was really, really good for them to have that stability for sure.
And Simone, Candy, you're sort of long to stay long enough in a house that you can actually do what so many people love to do, and that's plant a garden.
Well, that's what I do as a hobby since I've retired, like a lot of old people. What I would really like, what Hal was talking about, sort of social housing, community housing, where you can rent a place, but you can actually stay there, because I love gardening, and I've grown a tree from a seed, but I keep having to give the trees away because I put them in pots, because I lose the house, I lose the garden. Gardening is so important because it occupies your mind, occupies your body. It's so healthy. But when I put the seeds in there, in the garden or in the pot, I want to see them grow, and I want to, you know, eat those vegetables, see those herbs, see those flowers, because I do it for everybody who walks past the garden. Mm. But the problem is when you're constantly moving, you're leaving the garden behind, and actually sometimes it improves the property so much that the landlord who's selling it gets more money because it looks so good, you know. And I have done that. I've improved properties so much just by renting them and looking after them and cleaning them and things like that, that they actually are valued higher than what they would have been if it had been in the condition it was when I moved into it. So, you know, I think really good tenants who are genuine should be respected more by anybody who, you know, wants to be a landlord. But I think social housing and community housing that Hal was talking about, long term, forever, you know, so you can rent your forever home, just be there, clean the place, look after the place, protect the property, you know, and pay your rent quite genuinely, honestly, but you grow your garden, because it's good for you and it's good for everybody.
Well, Candy, Simone, I hope you both find the stability you're looking for. Simone and Candy, both lifelong renters. Simone on New South Wales South Coast. Candy also renting in regional Victoria. She's in her early 80s. And thank you, Hal Pawson, Emeritus Professor of Housing Research and Policy, Associate Director at UNSW's City Futures Research Centre. Thank you for your texts as well. So many great different perspectives that you're telling me. One says we need to destigmatise renting. As already mentioned, in Europe, people rent for life and it's not seen to be an issue. We have far too much emphasis here on buying homes. We're consistently told that is the Australian dream. I don't buy it. We have rented the same house in a nice suburb for the past 10 years. We have a wonderful landlord. We've had minimal rent increases. We're good tenants and we look after their home because it is our home. Stop making renters feel like second-class citizens. One from a landlord. We bought an investment property several years ago. It was a new build. We've refused to raise the rent in recent years as we could not justify adding to the problem. It's now 40% below market. Our property manager is not happy with us as it reduces their income. And Arthur in Sydney similarly says, I have a rental property and I think a 2-year lease is very reasonable. I think annual renewals is primarily an income generating process for the agent.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.